When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Tevin, you can tell what kind of individual he is. You know, the rookies put up the tree in our meeting room. You know, you should see what that tree looks like. You know, it's a beautiful tree.
How much work did you put in the Juan's Christmas tree?
Say about a day's work, a good day's work. So I had to go to, I went to Home Depot, got a nice little Christmas tree. We got decorations on there with ornaments. Yeah, I got a whole bunch of ornaments.
We're back live with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Holiday Party on 670 The Score.
Wasn't Juan just recently fired?
Juan Castillo recently fired as the offensive line coach at UCLA.
That's right.
For Deshaun Foster, where offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy was also fired. But Juan Castillo, forever in our hearts, as the man who made Tevin Jenkins go to Home Depot and spend an entire day on a Christmas tree.
Why not? This segment with Mark Grody being brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. It's also brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. It's not a game, Illinois.com. Mark Grody now joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Hey, Groats.
I miss Juan Castillo. That is no slam to the current offensive line coach.
Why do you miss Juan Castillo?
Because of stuff like that. He was an entertainer. And, like, yeah, sometimes some of that stuff would get a little bit old because we're actually trying to get answers and trying to figure out what's going on with the Bears' offensive line and where everybody fits. But he was something, man.
You know the right answer because I could see it in your eyes. I mean, that's what you tell me. That's what I see in the eyes. Maybe your blue eyes are lying to you.
Juan Castillo, big fan of your blue eyes.
He liked my beautiful blue eyes. So, yeah, I mean, stuff like that. And he was constantly asking Chris Emma for some reason, Chris, you got kids, right?
Good.
You got kids? Yeah, you got kids. For some reason, he always thought that Emma had a family, like this big family with all these kids. And
all right, guys, we have time for one more Chris Emma. This will be the last one.
Well, Coach, just say the word, and I'll get my technique fine-tuned and ready for your offensive line.
Wow.
Yes. So, it's why do I miss him, Lawrence? Because it is guys like that in seasons like this where you've lost seven in a row and you're like, you just need something to look forward to. And I think that goes for the players as well in different circumstances, but sometimes for reporters as well. Where's that thing that makes me feel, that makes me laugh and makes me feel good out here at Halas Hall? It's pretty much been lacking out here, obviously, throughout this, this tough time, this trying time that the Bears are dealing with. And none of us knows if the Bears will ever win another game this season.
Well, you had a chance to talk to assistant coaches today, didn't you? Today is coordinator's day. Because Monday is Sunday, Mark.
That's right. That's right. It's very confusing out here, Spiegel. It is. Yes. Everything feels Friday-ish, but there are more participants, including the Bears' offensive coordinator, Chris Beatty. And there were a couple of really good topics that came up, stuff that we've all been discussing. I think we maybe even talked about a couple of these topics on your guys' show yesterday. But one of those is the notion that Caleb Williams is being a little bit too conservative, as in specifically trying to not throw interceptions, which he's been very successful at, but is it actually hurting him? Here's how Chris Beatty answered that question.
I don't think so. You know, I do think there's calculated shots that we need to take. But at the same time, I think he's done a nice job of being
present and trying to make sure that we do take care of the football. You know, I think that's been a focus all season. And really, you know, for the most part, we've done a great job all season long on that. So I don't think it's a lack of aggressiveness as much as, you know, he's got to be calculated when he wants to do those things and then understand, you know, there are times to do it. If they, you know, we're one-on-one, you know, we need to take some shots.
As coaches, do you want him thinking, don't throw an interception, or do you just want that not?
No, we never talk about that. You know, that never comes up. It's all about being calculated and, hey, we see a certain matchup that we like, let's try to take advantage of it. There's some things that we want to try to do a little bit more of, and then there's some things that we, you know, that we might be missing because we're seeing them for the first time or, you know, in a game or full speed. So those things we're trying to get better at.
Man, I'm so glad the beat followed up with that since it was a conversation all week long. And even yesterday with Troy Aikman, Troy talked about taking too many sacks and instead of just get that ball out, like go ahead and get the ball out. So it dovetails together. Doesn't sound like, though, Lawrence, that Chris Beattie's going to, you know, guide Caleb towards a little more aggression.
It doesn't sound like he didn't, but that doesn't mean that that wasn't an edict from Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron, who,
right.
And in Eberflus's case, like we know that he's done the research, and the research says if you stay away from takeaways,
yeah,
you have a really high percentage. If you win the takeaway battle, it's, you know, 80-90% chance of winning the game. So I can imagine that that was one of his things for Caleb in his first year, and that's a hard habit to break.
Yeah, and I agree with that. That there had to at some point in time somebody had to have said to Caleb Williams, "Look, yeah, you're the future. You're Caleb damn Williams. But look at all these weapons we have. Be patient. Just don't turn the ball over, especially early on." Well, what I will say about that, as we all sort of project that, is that Caleb Williams' response to this topic is always, "Yo, I don't throw interceptions."
Yes.
Like he always says at USC, "Look, that's not really part of my thing." So that's his response, and nobody is going to ever tell, trust me, nobody's ever going to tell Caleb Williams that he's being conservative at times or not taking those shots, but that's just part of his repertoire, Speaks.
Yeah, it is, and it makes me wonder about some of the inaccuracy down the field when he's throwing the ball deep, whether he's trying to be intentionally safe about that, because there have been precious few explosive plays in the passing game from this team that is designed to have a lot of them, frankly.
Yeah, well, and I will say coincidentally, there were some, there's some serious chances taken by him, by Caleb Williams, the last time they played Minnesota, and specifically that the 40-yard pass to Keenan Allen, the drop in the bucket pass, where it was well covered. There was the shot to DJ Moore at the end of the game. There was the throw down the sideline. So just giving some examples where, yeah, I remember Cole Kmet saying, you know, like that was a pretty dangerous pass that he made. So it's not like he's not doing it. But yeah, I get the point that there is some stuff, there is some meat that has gotten left on the bone, including in games where, and I remember DJ Moore kind of referencing this was a different time, but referencing, you know, we're winning our one-on-one battles and kind of leaving it up to us to interpret whether or not Caleb Williams was getting the ball to him. And at that time, he was not. Another topic, guys, that has been big for all of us, and I do believe we were talking, actually, Lawrence, I think you brought this up yesterday, and that was the idea of being less conservative with your play calling early in games, opening things up, taking a shot down the field in the first drive. I believe it was Brad Biggs who said, specifically wording his question as, you know, some of these plays that you have for maybe later in the game, do you want to maybe move them up to earlier in the game? And here's how Chris Beattie answered that line of questioning.
I think I'll go backwards on that question. As far as, I think we've done a really nice job of making adjustments as the games went along. I think that's kind of showed out. At the same time, we need to start faster and maybe be a little more aggressive at the beginning of the game. I don't think it's a matter of holding things back as much as it is trying to let the quarterback get into a rhythm. You know, and sometimes you don't have a chance to get into a rhythm. We need to make sure that we play aggressively from the start. And, you know, I think those things will change a little bit here moving forward, but not too much. You know, I think at the end of the day, it's about execution, us calling the right plays and putting the right people in position to make those plays. And if we do that, then hopefully those things will take care of themselves.
I keep thinking about the four straight third down sacks in terms of the aggression and Caleb wanting to be safe, understandably, if you've got a good team, a good defense, and you're trying to win games.
It also just feels like in every game we're watching the Bears, they're playing from behind. In most of the games this season, they didn't score first. Like in a vast majority of the games, they didn't. It was only one, right, where they score first. And so you've got to figure out a way where you're putting pressure on the other team instead of always chasing. And I hope that's what Chris Beatty is talking about here.
Yeah, I think he is. And to that point, I mean, again, referencing, and I'm sure I could reference any of these games, but referencing the Minnesota game, Bears, that Caleb threw the ball 47 times against Minnesota because they were playing from behind. What did he throw, 53 times in that Indianapolis game? So there have been some numbers that have gotten out of control. I think that, look, that every week they kind of throw their arms up, whomever we have asked about the slow starts, and just kind of say, yeah, it's crazy. It's just wild. Like, something needs to change, and I think that there has to be more that is going on in the background or the game planning this week for this game against a team that you've already played once to get off to a fast start. It's just so important for the rhythm of these games.
Yeah, you know, I keep thinking of those last 3 minutes against the Vikings when Caleb balled out after being told to just let it loose and go be Superman.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And the fourth quarter numbers in general, as they've almost always been chasing, are really, really good. So let it fly, young fella.
Yeah, which is really important, too. I mean, that's incredibly important that that exists, but we all know that you want to see a guy play for four quarters.
He let it fly last week a couple times to Rome Odunze.
Yeah, he did. He did, and my goodness, the Chris Beatty loves Rome Odunze, and the topic that came up was the idea of being quarterback friendly, and he believes that Rome Odunze already has that. And just a side note here, because you'll hear it and you'll understand the context probably without me having to say this, but Beatty did coach DJ Moore in college. So just with that in the back of your mind, listen to Chris Beatty here talking about Rome Odunze.
I have not dealt with many that are as advanced as he is. So I think that's a hard thing, you know, and I listen to Keenan talk about it and listening to DJ talk about, because I remember DJ's struggles firsthand. He would call and be like, yo, this is harder than I thought, you know, and when I was, you know, from coaching him in college. So he's advanced in those things for sure.
Was he not as quarterback friendly early as Rome is now?
Who, DJ?
Yeah.
No, he was not. He was not. Now, I don't think, you know, Keenan would tell you the same thing, and I think DJ would too. You know, Rome is advanced as a route runner. You know, there's a lot of room for growth, but he has a knack for being able to, you know, move his body and get himself to where he's friendly for the quarterback.
That's pretty cool.
That's so nice to hear.
Yeah, it is. And so, and this is a guy who's coached wide receivers for a long, long time.
It's also good cool ones. That he felt comfortable being honest about that. Because a lot of, let's not compare. Like, it's nice. Yeah. He's like, no, he's definitely more quarterback friendly than what DJ was.
Yeah, man. And we know what a straight shooter DJ Moore can be, or he can defend himself, that he kind of poked him a little bit on that. I thought that was great and promising. Look, I mean, we were just talking about this on the podcast, that it's been a weird year for Rome Odunze. Yeah, he's had some nice games this year, but it hasn't really felt like he has broken out yet. But there is a nice trajectory that seems to be happening, and that's one of those things that you could watch over the next four games.
It's been a tough week for Eric Washington. It was really ugly against the Niners. And then, you know, the defensive game plan has been much discussed. And I love the way you seemingly have this one phrased, Groats. Did you ask the question, or somebody asked the question as simple as, why was everybody wide open all the time?
Yeah.
It's a great question. It's the right question.
It is. I believe it was Podash. I don't think he wrote it exactly like this. Sometimes I like to entertain you guys with what I send you, but I believe it was Potsy. Yeah, no, Potsy pretty much asked the question like that. Like, why were there so many guys open? I wish he would have used the name George Kittle. I wish he would have just said, why was George Kittle wide open?
Juwan Jennings would have been fine as well.
We would have accepted Juwan Jennings as well. But here is what Eric Washington had to say about the notion that everybody was open against his defense.
Well, we have to be better, and everything starts with rushing coverage. Anytime we're in a situation where we're facing a passing concept, it all starts with our ability to affect the quarterback. And anytime the quarterback is able to stand back there, then receivers are going to break open, whether you're in a zone or man concept. So it starts with rushing coverage. We have to do a better job with that.
Specifically with the red zone, like going into that game, you guys were number one in the league in that area. Why weren't you guys able to keep that going last week against it?
We have to execute. We have to do better in every aspect. We have to do better. We have to, and it starts with me. We have to make sure that there are no disconnects, no breakdowns. There's no trepidation. There's nothing that's gray. We have to make sure that our process is right, our assignments are correct, and I have to make sure that everyone understands exactly what to do in any situation, including the red zone.
Maybe there were more specifics at other times, but I didn't.
No.
There weren't.
No. It's so funny you say that. It was actually, this is the first time that watching and listening to Eric Washington, I was frustrated with his answers.
Yep.
Because he was asked some very specific questions. One of them was, have you taken a long view of like what's happened? Why you guys go from top five in a lot of categories to what the hell is all of a sudden going on with this team? And he said, well, I don't do that now. We're just worried about next week. And it's kind of like, what do you mean you're not doing that right now? So that was that. That's why I only have one cut of Eric Washington, and I struggled to even find the right one.
Interesting how his honesty dialed back a little bit once
yes.
he became the guy calling plays.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, it was very different. I was sitting there going, man, he is giving nothing to us.
He was really bad last week.
He was really bad because, like, we all know that after play action and misdirection, when suddenly the middle of the field on the second level is wide open, that's because your linebackers aren't there. Your nickel isn't there. Your safeties aren't there. And sometimes it's because you sent them somewhere else. Sometimes it's they bit, but sometimes you sent them somewhere else. So you could go ahead and tell us. We know what we're watching, and he didn't bother to tell you specifically.
It was another one of those moments where everybody watching the game, even the casual fan that's watching it with you to put up with your footballness, is like, why aren't they putting somebody on him? Why is that man wide open?
Why
constantly?
Is the best tight end in the league just roaming free?
Yeah, why was that not a? It's like, okay, a couple big plays. All right, now do something about it. Adjust, and they really didn't ever adjust until times in the second half, and it was glaring, and it was pointed out on the broadcast as well when I went back and watched. So yeah, I mean, Eric Washington, it's on him now, man. You know, he's under a different microscope now. Moving on to the locker room, guys. I thought this was really interesting from Cole Kmet. I know we heard from Cole Kmet earlier this week, but we actually got something a little bit different out of him. And that is, and just as a warning here, Cole Kmet may have lost a bear from me on my bear rankings system.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Chicago's very own Cole Kmet lost
right.
a bear?
Understand that this is these awards are typically, or my bear stamps are typically guys that are from Chicago, and then they could add bears by playing well and just doing bearsy things.
Well,
so
the man had a Brian Urlacher jersey framed in his basement while growing
That's
up.
That's worth 20 bears.
Right. I mean, so yeah, he's got definitely has a backlog of bears that he can pick from still. but when you guys hear this, there's something specific in the middle of it. About the place that they're playing. Now, Cole Kmet talking about playing in Minnesota.
It's loud. Yeah, it's loud, but it's my favorite stadium to play in. So I love going there. It's a blast to play in. It's a beautiful place to play, and I definitely enjoy it for sure. So it feels like you're like in a Game of Thrones set or something. I always enjoy it there. It's a lot of fun, and obviously their fan base is fantastic.
Do you like the horn, though? Do you like the horn?
I like the horn.
You're a sucker for the horn.
I'm the sucker for the horn. Yeah, I'm a sucker for the horn. They do, yeah. I think that's also one of my favorite parts. The fake snow and the horn is like two of my favorite things.
You better turn you from Game of Thrones.
Oh my gosh. I like to think I'm all knowing, so Brant would be my thought. But you can't go wrong with Jon Snow. So
Kevin Warren helped build that.
He did.
A Bears player and Bears fan, do you hope to have one of your own?
That one's pretty beautiful. So yeah, hopefully something like that. That'd be pretty cool, and it'd be awesome to play in something like that for sure.
I have him losing three bears.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I'm with you, Lawrence. Would you like to give me your calculation on the three bears lost?
I have him losing a bear. It's my favorite place to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I have
okay.
I have
one bear.
Losing a bear that he likes the horn.
Oh my God. Yeah. At least one.
I almost took two bears away from him for the horn, honestly. You can't like the horn.
No, you can't like
Cole.
The horn. Yeah.
No. Oh. Yeah.
And you challenged him on it. You challenged him on it. Gave him a chance to back off of it. You
right.
know?
You like the horn. There's one meatball one. Like this, I'll take a half a bear away from him. Shouldn't his involuntary response be, "We don't need a dome.
That's right.
We're bears. We play outside."
Yeah.
Right?
And how about
I got three bears.
You got that?
I
mean, three bears.
At least a half a bear pulls away as the reporters are giving him a chance.
Yeah.
You know?
They laid it up for him.
Oh, like maybe you want to pull this back a little bit.
Cole, you've lost three bears.
I think I speak for a lot of people when I say maybe you should go be a Viking, Cole.
Wow.
Oh, no. Man, wow.
You like it so much. Why don't you go play there?
I don't think you have to go that far.
Well, yes. I mean, he's inviting it.
Wow.
You know?
Inappropriate.
He still has 17 bears left. Like, we're not trading him if he's got 17 bears.
He lost a bear for dropping a 2-point conversion.
Oh, you're right. 16 bears.
Yeah.
16, yeah.
Some trouble. This is how you get voted off the island.
Spiegel, I got a little something for you, by the way, at the end of this update that you're going to really like.
Well, you need to speed it up because Danny Parkins is joining us at 5:30.
Yeah. What the hell is going on? Yeah, I keep seeing Parkins popping up on the Zoom over here. What's going on? Like, all just out of nowhere.
He's on the Zoom.
Yeah, he's on the Zoom.
He's trying to say hello to you.
All right.
Afternoon ball.
Go ahead.
Let me fly through my last because Parkins is coming. I get Grody off the air. Oh yeah.
I know how you feel.
Yeah. DJ Moore. I wasn't gonna let you guys get away without one question. We do this one per Bears hit. Somebody has to answer a question about how they are handling and dealing with all of the losing. Here's DJ Moore's philosophy.
You don't even want to know. Kids. Yeah. Kids keep me grounded, keep me awake and not thinking about football.
You gotta really force yourself to do that. I mean, you said that we don't even want to know. I feel like there's more to this.
More to what? I mean, just relax. You gotta take your mind away from football. You know, when you come in this building, it's football from the time you walk in here to the time you leave out, and then you can't take it home because if you take it home, now the house all messed up and everybody's sad, and I ain't for that.
Mm-hmm. Do you talk to the rookies like Rome and Caleb about dealing with this because they haven't done that in their careers?
Hi, Cheryl.
Nah, I haven't talked too much to them about losing. I don't want to be talking to them about losing from here on out.
That's the good answer.
Hey, Groats.
No.
Great. Groats, by the way, someone in the mob.
Yeah.
His new name is Skull Komet. Let's go.
I learned that from Tevin Jenkins yesterday. A couple other notes here, guys.
Nuggets tidbits, please.
Yeah. So we know that DeAndre Carter is done for the rest of the season. Hightower was talking about that. He gets all emotional about these players. You know, you mentioned Josh Blackwell yesterday, Speaks, and, you know, we gave you a little crap for it. But he was,
what
again,
were
limited
you
in.
Thinking? It's
a bad moment. It's a bad point of the thumb.
You ruined the whole update. But Josh Blackwell was limited again today. And so the question was asked. So if Blackwell can't go, who you got lined up there? And the candidates are Tyreek Stevenson, Rome Odunze, and DJ Moore.
I'm okay with the first option. I'm not okay with the other two.
That's exactly what Weider and I said. Yeah, it's kind of got to be Tyreek Stevenson. Don't want to. I'd like to see that, like what they could do, but obviously you don't want to see those guys get injured. Last thing is, what was the question specifically that you guys asked me yesterday about? We were talking about the tequila drinking. Was it who would get the most drunk at a Christmas party? Was that the question that was asked?
Yes, of the Bears beat. And then you settled on poor Emma.
Well, no, I settled on Emma, and I settled on Caitlin Sharkey as well, the shark, who took a little exception to that to me today. The shark did. She's like, oh, what do you think, Grody? You think I get out of control at these Christmas parties? I go, well, you know, I mean, you just seem like somebody who probably likes to go out and have a good time. And so she took exception, but then she goes, yeah, but Emma probably, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that Emma would.
I'm going with Finley.
That's why I blurted it out.
That's my other nugget. That's my other one. I was told today by another member of the Bears beat that nobody slams a beer faster than Patrick Finley. So you are on with that. And guess who, during this conversation, my little area included in my little Bears neighborhood is Courtney Cronin. And she took exception to the fact that her name was not mentioned.
Okay. Shout out to Courtney Cronin.
She said, I'm usually the point person for this stuff, Grody. So I wanted to make sure. So I'm glad I could add a little bit of texture to the party people out here at Hallis Hall.
Okay.
Outstanding. Great stuff, Mark. Thank you. We have to go because somebody...
Yeah, I see him. Marco's ready. He looks great. He looks gorgeous. As he always does. Goodbye, TV? You guys.
Yeah, TV guy. That guy TV from TV is coming on.
He does look good. He does look good,
TV
actually.
Money.
Yeah, he does.
Bye, guys. I am exiting the meeting.
See you, Mark. Right. Thank you, buddy.
Bears.
Bye.
Bears. I was hoping to hear the sound of Grody leaving the Zoom. I thought we hear the mic going off.
There you go.
We'll take that. It's Spiegel and Holmes. It is the 670 The Score Spiegel and Holmes holiday party, and it's been a great time. And now the good times end because Danny Parkins is coming on. Yep. I kid. It's a gift for you, the listeners, and for us. We're looking forward to it. Parkins next on The Score.
My likability plummeted.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shane Waldron?
Yeah.
Not thrilled.
Not thrilled.
Yeah, I would much rather have Cliff Kingsbury or Clint Kubiak or me.
Danny Parkins. Welcome.
That is the story of the game. So I'm with my Slim Reaper friend over here. Yeah. The Eagles are in trouble. Because
KD. Co-host of Breakfast Ball on Fox Sports 1.
Listen, first of all, I'm just happy to be here.
Yes.
Now, you guys are on my show, right?
Yes. Well, that's what your Instagram.
Your Instagram. Listen, shout out to the mob in Chicago for getting me here. Now we'll work together as a team. But no.
He abandoned us.
Goodbye for now. Chicago will never leave me. This place will never leave me. And you'll hear from me soon. So thank you all so very much. Back to the best sports radio station in the country. One last time, I'm Danny Parkins on The Score.
Left us all hanging.
Craig Counsell, the Cubs manager. It's awkward to talk about team chemistry and how, you know, you don't want to hammer a guy who's now gone. But the Cubs 12-4 since Danny Parkins left town. Your thoughts, why that might be the case?
I miss Danny. Don't you guys miss Danny?
Oh, yeah.
Danny Parkins with Spiegel at Home.
I'm just saying, Lawrence, you were saying some stuff last week, if my memory is correct.
That's why Danny left.
That's crazy.
On 670 The Score.
Danny Parkins is here, ladies and gentlemen. He's killing it on national TV. As the host of Breakfast Ball. Good book, Shane. Good job, man. Shane getting it done.
So wait, before Danny speaks.
Yes, sir.
And before he speaks on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, download the Circus Sports app today. No one's worried that This was a major news day. This is a big salute that man.
Major news day.
Major news day.
Love his work.
All things are good for the Cubs. We're not concerned.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
So before Danny speaks, I just want to make sure that we acknowledge this, that there is a possibility
of a mush.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that we're going to be responsible for it because we wanted to welcome Danny back.
One more mush couldn't really harm us anymore. Could it, Danny?
How can you mush Tucker? You know, Speaks, I've always loved Tucker. You know that. Long time lefty power guy. It's a rare commodity in the sport. He hits. He's young. He projects out. Yeah. He's a good defensive player. This is what I've always tried to tell you need in the sport. You need star players.
Yeah, it's true. No, you couldn't mush him. You already mushed the Bears. And, and like the whole year seems to be, it has the backdrop for a lot of people that you were the one responsible for getting the hope up. It's been just referenced so many times. You've avoided that wrath for the most part. Or has it found you that you're responsible?
Oh, yeah. Because I'm not talking Bears and having my social media bombarded by both Chicagoans and people who are introduced to my particular brand of likability on the national stage. Yeah, I've completely avoided it. No, it's gone poorly. Because there was a lot of audio of me loudly proclaiming that Shane Waldron would be my first choice for Bears offensive coordinator. But it was under the guise of if they had to keep Matt Eberflus, you know, like I wanted them to fire Matt Eberflus. Listen, we all get things loud wrong, right? Some of us more than others. I'll point a couple of thumbs on that one. But, yeah, you know, so I'll wear some of the mush powers on this, but Spiegs.
I would think long and hard about firing Matt Eberflus to retain Luke Getsy.
Oh, that's going back.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. But I will say, listen.
Doing this to him?
I know. I didn't do that one, Danny.
We all have our misses, right?
Yeah.
Lawrence had Bryce Young as Drew Brees with mobility.
I'm not giving up on that yet.
You shouldn't. He's looked pretty good since he was benched. He's looked pretty good. I've been thinking about you a lot and that take since he's been benched. He has absolutely looked better. Spiegs, are you still enthusiastic? or has your enthusiasm waned?
It's been a tough year for me, I gotta tell you. It's been tough out
here. Watching the heel turn that's gone on here with this guy over the last 7 weeks has been amazing.
Yeah, it's true. Because I turned, Danny, I turned and I was like, I pointed a thumb though, Lawrence. Remember I pointed a thumb and I said, I was wrong. We should have fired Flus and I was wrong in the offseason.
They used to start yelling at us for some reason. Like we were the problem.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Danny, we had to stop him. Did you hear about the Packers thing?
Oh, yeah.
Danny, look, he comes in here because he was still being enthusiastic, even though he's trying to tell you that he wasn't. He comes in here and he's like, guys, I got a great idea for a bit. I feel very strongly about this. We're gonna give it out to the people, and we're gonna take donations. I think that the Bears are gonna sweep the Packers.
Yeah, I thought that early.
Oh yes, okay, I remember that nonsense. Yeah.
Well, you know, I learned it from you, Danny.
Wait a minute, you can't blame all your bad takes on me for forever going forward. I don't have like a trademark on wrong opinions.
As you know, and I think the listeners know, I learned a lot of things from you. I am better as an interviewer because of you.
I also occasionally say
absolutely ridiculous and stupid things because of you. So just take the good and the bad.
And then he got mad at us when we tried to stop him. We tried to stop him, Danny.
They did. They tried to hold me back, and I wouldn't let him.
Lawrence, you're going to have to be the voice of reason often, but you're used to it as the consummate professional.
I'm Dr. No around here, and I hate it.
I believe that, too. All these guys are trying to bring you down into the gutter with their hijinks, and then you're just the straight man there being like, I'm a professional. The thing, though, Speaks.
Yes.
I tried to tell you about Flus.
Yeah.
A lot of us first guessed all of this and that it was a disaster and that they were going to repeat history with Fox and Nagy with Mitch and then with Nagy and Flus for Fields. Oh. And now they're doing it with Eberflus and to be determined for Caleb, and it's organizational criminal negligence. I don't think it's actually criminal. I looked it up. It's not. But
hold on. Can't be in prison hold on. This sort of thing. Hold on. But let's pause. Let's pause. I know you have stuff that you want to drive the interview with, and you will. But where are you? Is this the new
looks
study?
Really nice.
Is this the study at the new Parkins Estate in the tri-state area of New York City? My goodness, it's look at the mahogany, Lawrence.
You like the built-ins?
Oh, the built-ins. I see several leather-bound books and a copy of Wilmette magazine that is framed behind you.
Of which
there.
I'm on the cover. No big deal.
It looks really great.
Not a big deal. Now the thing about the leather-bound books,
yes,
is about half of them are mine. Pipeline of the Pros makes an excellent holiday gift. You can still get it before the holidays.
Hey, yeah, but what it does is that it allows you, Danny, to promote the book, which I think is a great thing.
Thank you, Lawrence. Yeah, Pipeline of the Pros available now.
You know what? I was going to text you this, but I'm putting a list together for my class at DePaul this spring, and your book is on the list of books that I might teach this coming spring.
That's very kind. Well, I'd be happy to, you know, if there's, I don't know if you do Zoom lectures or get, not that it'd be a lecture, but a speaker, whatever the case, I'd be happy to contribute in any way. But yeah, this is the rental. We have not purchased the spot. Listen, man, this whole thing is very strange. TV is very strange. I have to I have to use my GPS to go to a gas station. I have no idea where I am at any point. I am lost all the time.
Do you have the framed picture of a very different show somewhere? Did you ever replace the glass in that, sir?
No, so I do have it. It's downstairs, so I can't have it for you right now. So this is Steph's office / where I will do some broadcast from, but in my little, you know, TV area down in the basement, that's where I have the show picture. Very different show, spelled DIFFREND.
Just
so
perfect.
So how's Breakfast Ball going? How's this transition going? Because I know that it wasn't easy, and now the family's there. That must make it easier, or does it?
Yeah, good. That's an astute question. It makes it way better. Like, because I mean, like, I get, Eli goes to bed like 7:15-ish. And so when I was doing afternoons in Chicago, I missed family dinner Monday through Friday. You know, if I got home through the traffic, I could maybe read him a book right before he was going into bed. So like having dinner with Stefan and the boys 7 nights a week is awesome. So that part of the family being out here is great. The 12 weeks that I was out here without the family, it was like national TV summer camp. Because like it was really hard because you were waking up at 4 a.m, but the 7-minute walk to the studio from the corporate apartment with the balcony in Manhattan and the ability to just like hang out with Mark Schlereth and eat 4 nights, 5 nights a week out in New York City, it was pretty great. I'm not gonna lie, I had a great time. But this is much more mature. This is much more my speed. I'm back out in suburbia in a great house.
It's too bad, you know, the family is dragging your lifestyle down, man. Dude, I'm so sorry.
It was funny. Like Steph was getting the house ready to sell, right? So she's like staging the house, and the real estate people are coming by for showings, and she's working, and she's parenting, and I'm being as present of a dad as I can, and I'm dealing with contractors remotely, and I'm FaceTiming and doing all the things that I can. But like at some point, you got to hang up the FaceTime, and I'm like, so like, what are you doing tonight? And she's like, well, I'm, you know, cleaning the kitchen and then packing up our silverware. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm going to the U.S. Open. It's like,
I'm going to the World Series, sitting with Costas.
Yeah, went to the World Series, to 2 games of the World Series, went to a game of the NLCS, saw Seinfeld and Sebastian Maniscalco with our friend Pat McGann at Madison Square Garden. I've gotten a little comedy seller hookup since I've been out here.
Wow.
One of the New York comedians puts me now on the list when I want to go, and I get the like, yeah, it's fun, man. I've had a really, really good time in New York. I miss you guys. I miss Chicago every day, and every day I consider quitting and coming back. Every single day. Because when that alarm goes off at 4:10 in the morning, I hate it so much. I hate it so much, Lawrence. And I see that, that like you're like, there's little I told you so there, and it's totally fair. Hours. Like, once I am out of bed, it's fine. But
oh,
I can't.
Oh, boy, you.
Danny, it's so true. So,
but Danny, it's going to get better, though, because, like, this is the rough part because you're not seeing light. Once we get through January, it's going to just feel better because it'll be lighter quicker. And you're going to be okay, this is awesome.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, and again, this is the most oh, poor you situation ever, right? But, like, Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football ends really late out here, boys.
Yeah, it does.
It ends late. And I'm the guy who, like, kind of got here because I, like, do the work and grind. I'm not trying to like cut corners and whatever. And so I say to Stink all the time, like I can't just drop Super Bowl rings on the table.
Yeah.
So I watch these games and then get 4 hours of sleep and I'm so tired all the time.
You want to start a GoFundMe or anything? Anything we can do for you? No, actually, we only have a couple minutes left, Danny. I know you wanted to ask something and you wanted, what do you want to get to?
Oh no,
to,
I wanted to ask if your enthusiasm had waned. Oh. I got my joke in.
Oh, you got it. That's in. All. Yeah.
It wasn't personal or sentimental
listen,
or anything.
Listen, all right, look. I need all three of you guys to say something nice to Danny.
No.
Oh, God.
No. You're going to make us do that for the first time on the spot here on live radio?
Yes. I need the three of you to say something nice to Danny.
You boys start. Go ahead.
I miss you every day, Danny, but I do watch you every single morning, and that's not something I publicize because I don't want people to know that I do. But I am up at 6 o'clock every morning. You are the first thing on my TV. You are doing so well. It's so nice to see you thrive the way you're doing it, but I do miss you here every single day. That being said, we're doing a great job. We love it. Thank you for leaving, but I do miss you every single day. I do.
Well, that's very kind, Shane. Thank you. I miss you too.
Tanny.
Look, man, you're killing it, and it makes me so happy to see you live out your dreams, and we get to see you do that on television live every day. And I listened to that Colin Cowherd with Russillo podcast, and it made me very happy to hear him mention you unsolicited. And I'm happy that the family's out there so you can kind of be whole once again, and we're looking forward to visiting you guys sometime in March. So, yeah, man, just it makes us all so happy that you're doing your damn thing out there.
Yeah, man. And Danny, you know, like how I felt about our show and what we did and what it became. And I'm extremely proud of that. And it's taken a little while, but I can tell you that me and Lawrence and Shane and Tanny are building something. And it's really nice to have our experience that we had together as part of my, you know, of part of everything that I know about radio as we work on building this new thing. It's like it's a wonderful chapter that I only look at with a smile and with a sense of love, dude.
Well, that's amazing. I miss all of you guys. Lawrence, I told you when it happened, you got the best team in radio. I've listened some. You guys are crushing it. There was no doubt. I mean, Lawrence is awesome broadcaster. Obviously, you and Speaks have a long history together. You and all of the guys have a long history together. So no, the show is sounding great. There was no doubt in my mind about that. And yeah, man, it's been fun. It's been weird. It's been different. It's been challenging. I think it's good to do things that are different. And you know, so we'll see. But every day, I consider quitting and coming back. Not to afternoons, but just, you know,
it's taken.
4 in the morning is not my speed, man.
Spot's taken.
You know, Danny, we let you go. We let you go out there. We can't just make a spot and have you come back.
Would you give us more notice than when you left?
I gave you as much as I could.
Guys, I'm leaving tomorrow.
That's not what happened. But yeah, Tanny's coming out. Did you tell people what we're going to do, Tanny?
I have not. Yeah. So they are doing a live Broadway play of Glengarry Glen Ross featuring Bill Burr, Bob Odenkirk, Kieran Culkin.
Wow.
Who else, Danny? I don't remember, but
that's awesome. We are
going out. Those are the three big ones. Yeah. And then, the brother,
Nick Wright's going to be in it. It's going to be great.
Put the coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Whatever. Those are
Michael,
three
Michael
big
McKeon?
Names. What? Yes.
Michael McKeon. Yes. Yeah. So wife Michael and I McKeon. Are going out there in March, and we'll go out there. We'll have a nice night on the town with the Parkinses and go see a great play. I'm
That's
looking forward
outstanding.
To it immensely.
Danny, we got to roll. Can I borrow the bow? Can you send the bow through the Zoom, please?
Yeah, okay. We can put a bow on this conversation. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Love talking to you guys and hope to do it again. And shout out to Rhino, by the way, not to end this out. We're thinking of him. And, you know, Radiothon 2025 is on. And, you know, shout out to Rhino, sending all of our best vibes his way.
Continued success, Danny.
Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you guys soon.
See you later. The mob loved that. Good to hear from Danny Parkins. He sent the bow through the Zoom. We will use it and put that bow on the show when we come back on The Score.
That's a wrap.
That was fun to visit with Danny Parkins.
It was. I'm glad you guys said nice things to him. Now you can go back to saying mean things about him.
See, I do miss saying mean things right to his face. You know what I mean? Like, that's my favorite way to say mean things, is right to somebody.
I found that out.
Oh, God. This has been fun. It's a nice holiday party.
Happy holidays.
Look, Shane, you did a great job with this.
Really did.
Shout out to Ina Mays for bringing food. The whole crew. I had this really beautiful moment. It almost brought me, like, gave me a little bit of a tear. Seeing the next generation of producers all like hanging out and they're like talking, I'm like, don't say anything, like don't get in their way, because they're building their own, forging their own path. It was just really cool.
Yeah, because that used to be us long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It sure did.
So Robbie Triano wrote a really good column about Ryan Poles for the Score's website. So I love seeing those guys flexing a little bit.
So they'll be able to do that until Bulls basketball and after Bulls basketball.
Chris flexing, White Sox ace.
Chris was flexing all day. Tanny did a great job as well. Really did.
For my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support that you show this show.
That's my last joke.
That deserved a rim shot, but that's okay.
That is okay.
We will try to return the favor in kind on Monday at 2 o'clock. Get you ready for Bears-Vikings. Have a great weekend, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.